All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Psalm 24. All right, Psalm 24. This is going to be the launching pad tonight. We're going to start here, but we won't stay here long, all right? Psalm 24. Everybody have it? All right, let's begin reading in verse 1. In verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" And here's the answer to those two questions. Verse 4, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." All right, now you... keep your Bible open right there, and I'm going to speak tonight, and probably for the next little while on Wednesday nights, I'm going to speak to you on this subject: revival, rapture, ruin. All right, revival, rapture, ruin. All right, so keep those three words in your mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to now open your eternal word. And Father, I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. I pray you'll encourage us tonight and help us to understand and realize that we are on the winning team. And we've read the end of the book, and we know how things turn out. And so I pray that you will use your word to encourage us and to help us to have our faith strengthened as a result of what we read and hear through the message tonight. So stir our souls with your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I read the other day that one of the well-known con artists on television, one of the well-known television evangelists who almost every year makes some kind of a prophecy, which never comes true, by the way, because, as he puts it, y'all don't have enough faith. One of these prosperity gospel preachers, well, that wasn't right either. Prosperity gospel event, no, that's not right either. This man, all right, and I'm not even sure that's fair. But anyway, here's this prophecy for 2026. All right, you ready for this? He says that in 2026, God's going to kill him. Yeah. That's what he says. Okay? God's going to kill him. So, now here's the caveat, all right? His loyal listening audience needs revival in their hearts so that they will give to his ministry so that they, the audience, can show God just how vital this man's ministry is. want to ignore that. That's amazing, isn't it? So if they give, then you know, God will keep him around longer. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I might try one of those, you know. I wonder how far down the road that would get me. Probably to the unemployment line. That's where that would get me. You see, folks, gimmicks and trickery and doctrinal heresy, doctrinal twisting in order to gain an advantage for yourself, none of that foolishness is needed in 2026. None of that. What the Christian needs and what the church needs and what America needs is an old-fashioned, window-rattling, barn-burning, foot-stomping, shingle-pulling, gospel-preaching, heaven-sent revival. That's what America needs. That's what Church the Open Door needs. That's what I need. We all need a revival in our hearts. And I just wonder how arrogant must a person be to think that the success of the gospel is solely dependent upon yourself. The truth is, if God did take that charlatan's life, there would be another Bible-twisting heretic who would step in and take his place without missing a beat. I asked a guide one time over in Israel when Yasser Arafat was the head of the PLO, and we were talking at dinner, and I asked this guide, I said, you guys, he was just, you know, giving Arafat down the road, and I said, why don't you guys just take him out? And he said, there are 100 Arafats in waiting. Hundreds of them. He said, how are we to know that the next one is not going to be worse than this one? So we just let them run their mouths. And I guess it makes sense, you know, but you know, I just think America, and I think the world needs to be thankful I'm not in charge. Now, I tell you what we need, folks. We need revival. America needs revival. The only way to avoid spiritual decay is by progress. Progressing in our Christian life. Brother Roloff used to say all the time, if we do not evangelize, we will fossilize. And that's so true, isn't it? The greatest need any Christian has is the need for revival. The greatest need any church in America has is the need for revival. The greatest need America has is not less taxes, although I'm all for that. It's not cheaper prices for necessities, although I'm certainly for that. It's not the need for a stronger economy, and I'm definitely for that. No, our country's greatest need is revival. That's what we need, revival. If we had revival in America, and I'm talking about people, God's people, getting right, thoroughly right with God. I mean, thoroughly right with God. Putting God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, the whole idea of revival is God pouring out his power and his blessing upon his people. And that's what we need in America today. Now look, please, for a moment at Psalm 24 and look at verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. All right, David asks the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Now, this, of course, is a question or two questions that are pictorial in their nature. All right, you and I cannot go to a place on this planet where we can say, this is the hill of God, God's up here, and then climb that hill and be in God's presence. No, the good news is, in the New Testament era, the Lord lives within us. All right? The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, God takes up permanent residency in your body. What? Know ye not that your body is the of the Holy Spirit? You say, I thought you said God takes up residency. I did. The Holy Spirit is God. All right? And so what the psalmist is saying here is something that you need to visualize in your mind and in your heart. All right? Picture yourself. Picture yourself in God's presence. Picture yourself sitting at the feet of God Almighty, just right there at the throne. And the question is, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And here's the answer from the psalmist. Look at verse 4. He that hath, number one, clean hands, number two, a pure heart, who, and number three, who is not lifted up, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. Now, three things here, and I believe that we would see a true and a genuine revival if we would get in the presence of the Lord. Now, you can't do that physically, but you can do it spiritually, mind and heart, in the presence of the Lord. And what we see here is that a true, genuine revival affects three things. Number one, first, it affects our hands. And the psalmist says that if we would, figuratively, climb the hill of God and stand in his holy presence, first of all, our hands must be clean. They must be clean. Now, of course, what do the hands represent? Well, they represent our actions. So we've got our actions have to be clean, all right? Not as Paul called it, filthy-minded. You know, you see these people and everything that is said, they have to make a dirty joke out of it. Well, that's a filthy mind right there. All right? And shame on any believer for having that kind of a heart or that kind of a mind. All right? Secondly, it affects our heart. All right, look at the second part. It says, he that hath clean hands, number one, and a pure heart. A pure heart. Man, how important is a pure heart? You see, our hearts are pure when we keep short accounts with God. All right, my aunt, my dad's sister, older sister, used to say that we need to keep prayed up, and I never understood what she meant. And I finally one day asked her. I said, "What do you mean by prayed up?" And she said, "You need to keep short accounts with God." And I said, didn't help me a bit. She said, let me say it to you this way. She said, when you sin, get on your knees immediately and ask God to forgive you and keep short accounts with God. I said, oh, well, that makes sense. That's a pure heart. And that's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. You see, the whole theme of the book of 1 John is fellowship. And so in chapter 1, verse 9, that when we sin, we confess our sin, and the Lord is just and righteous, and he forgives us of our sin. That's keeping short accounts with God. All right? So, of course, our heart represents our feelings, our emotions. Then thirdly, we read the verse says in verse 4, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, what's this a reference to? Well, revival will thirdly affect our tongue. Our tongue. In other words, our tongues must not be deceitful. That's a two-face. You know? That's somebody that has a deceitful tongue. They say one thing to your face and then turn around and say another thing to somebody else. And that's a deceitful tongue. In other words, our tongues must be honest. And of course, this one is a representation of our speech. So combining these three things together, our actions, our feelings, and our speech, these three are what represents our true character. You see that? These three things, our actions, our feelings, and our speech, these represent our true character. So I think you can see how we need revival. We need to climb to the holy hill of the Lord, and we need to sit in his presence to fellowship with him and to glorify him in all of his majesty and splendor. That's fellowshipping with the Lord. And that's when revival is going to come. Now, I look at our country, and I think there are three things that are a possibility for our nation. And I believe with all my heart we're running out of time. I believe we are. I believe we're running out of time. And so there are three things that are a possibility for our country. Number one, revival. I'd love to see revival, wouldn't you? I would absolutely love to see a heaven-sent, real revival. Now, I don't hold out much hope for this. I'll be honest with you. I just don't see much hope for this happening. But I believe it is possible. I do believe it's possible. God has done this very thing before when it did not look like there was hope. And God could do it again if he so chose to do. But it is possible. Second, the second thing I see is the rapture. Oh yeah, that could very well happen. That could happen tonight. That could happen right now. How many of you would like to see that happen right now? Yeah. I had a teenage girl one time said, Pastor, I heard you say the rapture could happen today. I said, yeah, it could. She said, would you ask God to hold it off until at least I can get married? I said, yeah, honey, I'll do that, and then you'll be praying for the rapture. She went right over her head. All right? Now, hey, listen, if we're not going to see revival, then I'm all for the rapture taking place. Let's hear the trumpet sound. I mean, I'm not opposed to the rapture happening at all, and I don't think you are either. And if we're not going to see a revival that brings men to their knees and back to church and back to the Bible and back to God and back to godly righteousness, our second option just might be the rapture of the church. But then there's a third possibility, and that's ruin. Ruin. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. But as I said a moment ago, I think that we're living on borrowed time. The world stage is so set for the Lord to return in the clouds to take his church up to meet him in the air where, as Paul says, we will ever be with the Lord. But it's still true. Folks, it's still true. America is nowhere found in Bible prophecy. I suppose it is possible that our country could simply implode and become useless in any of God's work for the future in the last days. I guess that is a possibility. I have looked for America in prophecy. I can't find it. Now, I think a lot of folks stretch things and pull America in that way, but I think if America were in prophecy, it would be obvious. I don't think you need to be pulling the sheets to try and cover the end of the bed, you know? All right, so Let's look at these. First of all, let's look at the matter of revival. I would love to see an old-fashioned revival sweep across America and then into Canada and then down to Mexico and then cross over the creek into England, Great Britain. I'd like to see revival run through Britain. I'd like to see revival run through Ireland and Scotland and then on into Europe. I mean, I'd love to see that happen. I just like to be in on revival. I'd just like to see it. The word revival, what does that actually mean? Well, the word revival is one of the most misunderstood words in the church today. It means so many different things to different people. But let's just break the word down for just a moment. Revival. Revival. The word revival actually means to come back to life. All right? To come back to life. It means, think about this one, it means to return to consciousness. Return to consciousness. You know, anybody ever been knocked out? Anybody ever been knocked out? Yeah? A few people have. I remember one time when I was a kid, when I was about, I don't know, 14 maybe. We lived out in the country, and my grandfather bought us dirt bikes, my brother and I. And I didn't have good sense. No comments. I didn't have good sense. And I rode that thing, and it's just by the grace of God that I'm still here. Let me put it that way. And I remember this one time where it was getting dark. And of course, you know, dirt bikes don't have lights on them. And it was getting dark. And I was trying to get home as fast as I could. And so I'm flying down this right away, power line right away. And you know how when they have these towers and they have the high voltage lines going off of them? Well, they had this guide wire that came down. I'll wait till I get there. All right, they had these guide wires that came down. Now, I don't know how fast I was going, but I was going fast enough so that when I hit that guide wire, but by the grace of God, I hit that guide wire right where, just above the tire, and it hit the frame of the bike. Now, had I been this way a little bit, it would have probably cut me in half. It could have taken off my head. Could have. I often thought about that after the fact. You know? But when I hit that guide wire, the bike just sort of went to pieces, you know? And I went whew, through the air. And when I landed, I really don't even have memory of landing. I have memory of somebody shining a flashlight in my eyes when I didn't come home and somebody came looking for me. And they slapped me on the face and I came to. And I said, how's my bike? That's all I cared about. How was my bike? Well, don't worry about that. Are you alive? And I said, I think so. And I said, what time is it? And they told me what time it was. And at best I figured that I was laying there about 30 minutes. And I was unconscious. But I came back. That's revived. They revived me. They slapped me on the face and they revived me. All right? And, you know, it's a return to consciousness. Someone will take smelling salts, or they'll gently slap the person on the face, or they'll pour water in their face in order to snap them back into consciousness. All right? And that's what revival is. We become God conscious, God aware. And you know, I think America has lost that God awareness. I think that's where we are as a nation. It is to return to vigor from a state of languor or neglect. And please understand, folks, there is a difference between evangelism and revival. All right? What's the Bible say about an unsaved person? Ephesians 2:1. Anybody know what that says? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So, before you got saved, you were dead. Now, folks, listen, you can go over here to Pritz, or you can go to Fletcher's or any of the other ones. And you can walk in and look at that person laying in the casket and do all the voodoo and all the hocus pocus you want to do. They're not waking up. You know why? They're dead. All right? But if somebody's unconscious, you can wake that person up. Their heart's still working. And you can wake them up. So if you're dead in trespasses and sin, an unsaved person does not need revival. An unsaved person needs a new birth. You see the difference? Chapter 3 and verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. All right, so the twice born Christian, the twice born believer birthed the first time physically, second time spiritually, that is the person that needs to be revived when he grows cold or she grows cold. The old timers used to call it an awakening. An awakening. And folks, listen, a Christian can get away from the Lord. They can get away from the Lord, and over time, their heart will grow indifferent and cold towards God, and they don't want to read the Bible because that's a rebuke to where they are. So they don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to come to church. You know, when something happens, You lose a spouse. Let's say, you know, cancer grabs you. I don't know what is any worse than cancer, do you? So you know, that's when we ought to be in church. That's when we ought to be at the altar, praying for God Almighty to do something. I believe that with all my heart. I've had people say, Pastor, I need to tell you something, and they tell me the bad news, and they'll say, now don't say anything about it to anybody. I don't know about you, but man, every time I've had an ailment, I've told y'all about it. I want you to pray for me. I know what your prayers do. Been there, done that, and have the ball cap. You know? Yeah. I don't want that in the bulletin, Pastor. Well, I mean, I honor your request, but I don't understand your request. All right? But a Christian can get away from the Lord, get cold and backslidden on the Lord. And back in the 1700s, when our nation was forming, when it was coming into existence, God called men to preach. And he endowed them. Folks, our country was founded upon the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is what's found in this Bible. All right? Yeah, not Sharia. But our forefathers were guided by God called men who preached liberty and freedom and less government. You see, they came from Britain, where Britain was like Maryland. They govern everything you do. You know? So these men preached all over New England and all up and down the Atlantic seaboard. And God sent what they called an awakening. An awakening. So that when our founding fathers met to establish our great nation, they founded America with their minds and their hearts upon a perfect understanding of needing the help of Almighty God. And that's why, folks, listen, if you've not read the Constitution, sit down and read it. It's an amazing document. I mean, phenomenal. If you've not read the Magna Carta, you ought to read the Magna Carta. It's phenomenal. You'll see how our nation was founded. But they knew they needed the help and the blessing of God. Folks, I can say it without apology tonight. America needs another awakening. America needs revival. Just after the Civil War, when the nation was fragmented and war-torn and full of hatred and vengeance, again, the Lord raised up men whom he endued with great power, and again, revival swept across the nation. And I'm telling you, folks, we need a new and a fresh anointing of the power of God and a new spirit of revival. Amen. Heaven sent. not man-made. Not worked up, but prayed down. But I worry. I worry. Are we going to see such a movement? And the reason that I worry so about it is because God has always and always will use the church to send revival. Always has, and he always will. If a genuine revival from God was sent, where would the revived saints of God go to church? Would you think about that? Where are they going to go? You know, most churches today don't have a preacher who believes anything. That's sad, isn't it? But it's true. They don't understand Bible doctrine. They don't even have a Bible. They don't even have a Bible. They're members of the Bible of the Month Club. You know, whatever Zondervan sends them, or Nelson, or, you know. They quit sending them to me. They quit sending them to me. Oh, I wrote them a letter. I called Nelson. Don't send me this. Don't send me this stuff. You're wasting your postage. Don't send it to me. This is not a Bible. What's the newest translation of what? Of what? And the guy didn't know of what. Well, I'll tell you what it is a translation of: the wrong text. Plain and simple. Hardly anyone preaches the gospel today. So where are people going to go to church? If they get revival and they show up at the denominational church and a 6-foot icicle comes out and he doesn't have a Bible, what's going to happen to the revival? Well, it's going to die right there. Where would the revived saints go to church? So I'm just not convinced that we're going to see revival. I hope we do. But I'm just not convinced. And it's because of the condition of the church today. It's entertainment, or it's dearth. That's what it is. All right, so that's point one. And next week we'll talk about the matter of the rapture and hopefully get through with that, and then we'll look at the matter of ruin. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to make a fresh start. I pray that all of us will realize that we need revival in our hearts. Help us to be humbled. Help us to want to be in your presence on the hill of the Lord. Father, help us to say, I want to be in the presence of the Lord with my life. I want to pray. I want to read the Bible and understand it. I want to come to church and grow. And I need revival. So, Lord, send revival to our hearts. Draw us to yourself tonight. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.